And with that, I am super excited to welcome our guest speaker tonight, Pastor Pat Mahoney. Give it up for Pastor Pat.
Aaron, stay up here a minute. Let's pray for Pastor Aaron. They have, it's okay if I talk about that, isn't it?
Sure.
They have a retreat this weekend, and Pastor Judah's going to be there. Tyler's going to be there. Are you there? You're not there. But they're combining the young adult group with Jubilee or The Rock?
The Rock.
The Rock. So they're getting together with a group of young adults, maybe even older than young adults. I don't know. But it's going to be Holy Ghost. It's going to be mighty. It's going to be amazing. And I wish I could be there. But he's leading it. One of the guys from The Rock is leading it, Pastor Judah, and the worship team. So stretch your hands out this way. Let's pray over them. Judah, come up here too. I mean, you guys are already prayed up. The Holy Ghost is all over you, so you're fine. But, you know, we might as well join in with it. Father, we thank you for a tremendous weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Even though Judah's back here Sunday morning for church, Pastor Aaron's up there a little beyond Saturday into Sunday. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to just invade this little get-together, this retreat, this getting away with God time, this coming together of two wonderful, mighty churches with two wonderful, mighty young adult ministries coming together to experience an explosion of God in their midst, a time to minister to one another, a time to connect and be sharing love one another, and a time to be with you. Father, we bless Aaron. We bless Judah. Thank you for energizing them. These retreats, you don't get much sleep. So, Father, give them power from the inside out to just keep going like that little bunny rabbit. And we thank you for a tremendous weekend and miracles, healings, breakthroughs, and for these people that are there to truly go home different, because they have been face to face with Jesus. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Will you be praying for him?
Yeah.
All right, be praying for him. Energizer bunny anointing is what Judah wants.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Well, I'm thrilled to be with you tonight. God bless you. It's a joy just to be at Encounter Church. But it's also a joy to be able to preach something to you tonight. The world needs Jesus, amen? The world needs the Holy Spirit in a big, big way, amen? How many here have Jesus? How many here have the Holy Spirit? Well, if you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to be talking tonight about a different part of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was going to be preaching on another message, and it was going to be a wonderful message called Having God's Grace to Finish Your Race. I thought it was a pretty good message. It was out of 1 Peter and looking through the five chapters of 1 Peter. But God visited me Monday night and kind of took me out of that and brought me right into a different dimension. And had a time with the Father Monday night. By the way, online viewers, Church Online, we love you. Thank you for viewing in tonight. Pastor Reese, if you're watching, we love you. Pastor Sarah, we love you. The kids, we love them. And we're glad they're away for spring break, having a great time. And we appreciate them, love them. So Pastor Reese, we love you. Thank you for being our senior pastor. You know, with that said, I just need to say this. I'll probably do many rabbit trails tonight. Pastor Reese said I can be here till 10 o'clock, so it's okay. You know, there was a time I was called to be a pastor 2 months after I was born again. And God spoke to my heart. 2 months after I was saved in Estes Park, God spoke to me and said, you're called to be a pastor. Well, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I had just been born again. I was ignorant of the Bible, ignorant of spiritual things. But I knew in my heart a pastor had something to do with serving God and helping people. I knew that. So from that time on, I thought, well, golly, I'm called to be a pastor, and I'm going to be a senior pastor, and I'm going to have my own church and everything. Over a period of time, and we did have a couple of our own churches, Sharon and I did, but God visited me again in Estes Park, YMCA camp, many years ago, and he said, I didn't call you to be a senior pastor. I called you to be a supportive pastor. And there was clarification. That now, when he called me that day in essence to be a pastor, that was clear. But then he had to clarify the different aspect of what that meant. It's not that you're called to pastor your own church. You're called to support someone else who is the senior pastor and provide your gifting to pastor the people of that church under that leadership. There's always clarification along the path, folks. There really is. And once I understood that and walked in that and accepted that and got the flesh out of the way and the egos of men out of the way and said, I'm okay. I don't have to be the lead guy. Jesus is the lead guy. I'm serving Jesus. And Sharon and I delight serving Pastor Reese and Sarah at Encounter Church. And before that, we were serving Pastor Marilyn and Wally for many years and went here and there and did different things. But tonight, though, God spoke to me Monday night and said, you're not going to do Grace for the Race. I said, well, what am I going to do? And he said, I want you to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, why, God? They all know the Holy Spirit. You know, we know the Holy Spirit. But there's something that God wants to do new in our day about the Holy Spirit. Amen? The world needs the Holy Spirit. So I asked God. I said, why? Why talk about the Holy Spirit? And by the way, I brought two or three different prophecies he gave me. I might read them if there's time. But one thing I wrote down, I said, why should I talk about the Holy Spirit? He said this, Jesus paid a great price so that we might receive a great gift. And the Holy Spirit is that gift. The Holy Spirit is very precious to Jesus. Jesus, when he went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to the earth. And the Holy Spirit is about kingdom business. When we're sleeping, when we're awake, 24 hours a day, the Holy Spirit is touching lives all over the world, healing bodies, setting the captives free, bringing people to the cross, and doing a work that is transformational and supernatural all the time. Sometimes we tap into what he's doing. Sometimes we completely don't understand what he's doing, but he's doing it anyway. I think the Holy Spirit is wanting us, though, to put our finger in the outlet more, to really touch what he's doing more than we ever have, so that we can keep up with what he's doing, saying, and accomplishing for the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is wanting us on board with what he's doing. He's wanting you on board with what he's doing right now in the land. Now, I know we all get locked into our own lives and circles and problems and challenges. But the Holy Spirit is trying to broaden the horizon in our life. He's trying to get us out of the boxes we build around our lives so that we can expand into the dimension, the fourth dimension, and move into the Holy Spirit supernaturally every day where you go, where you live, where you work, that you are experiencing something of God in a fresh way every day. Christianity, if it becomes stale, is not kingdom Christianity. It's just not, folks. And sometimes we have to shake ourselves out. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you through the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. That doesn't mean we have to work to get the gift. You already have the gift, but sometimes we fail to open it. And you have to open it daily and exercise it and do some things. So the Holy Spirit's vital. So anyway, I felt like Jude. You know, Jude, when Jude wrote his little book of Jude, he said, I was about to write you about our common salvation. But he said, but God directed me a different way, and I'm going to have to write you to contend for the faith that was once delivered. So what I feel like is on my spirit tonight, in a very strong way, is that we are going to contend for the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Oh, I want more. I want to see more people healed. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more breakthrough. I want to sense God in my life all the time. I don't want cold, creepy Christianity. I don't want it. I don't like it. And I've never been around it where I did like it. I have to stir myself up every day. And I have to shake myself out of some stuff that gets on me in this world, my mind, my heart, everything else, relationships, all this stuff, and go after God and go after Jesus and say, Holy Spirit, use me. Holy Spirit, use me. So I felt like Jude contending for something, and I felt like God wants us to contend for this tonight. And I hope and I understand and I pray that you really get it. So God spoke to me Monday night about the Holy Spirit. He said Jesus paid a great price for it, therefore it's something really special. We're going to look at a few scriptures here in a minute. But then last night, kind of like God saying, well, I'm going to give you a confirmation of this. By the way, the topic of my message, if you really need one, is receiving the Holy Spirit and discovering his gifts. Receiving the Holy Spirit and discovering his gifts. So last night, I'm sitting at home in my lovely, comfortable recliner, and I get a phone call from Pastor Marilyn. And I think, you know, I get a phone call from her now and then. She's a very sweet, lovable, wonderful person. She talks to many people, and so she calls many people. She called me, and I thought, that's sweet. That's nice. Hi, Marilyn. What are you doing? And we've been praying for her, haven't we? We've been praying for Marilyn and health and strength and everything else. She said, well, you know, I don't have many spiritual dreams, but God gave me a dream last night with you and Sharon in it. I thought, well, that's interesting. Marilyn has never given me a dream. Now, if I have to pay her more later, I will to get more dreams. But she called me and gave me a dream last night. I asked her today if I could share the dream because I didn't just want to assume. It's okay just to lay it out there. And so she gave me the dream. And it was basically she saw Sharon and I and wrapped in a package flying off to the moon to buy cheese. No, I'm kidding. flying off to the moon, approaching the moon, turning around, coming back, and she emphasized a couple times, she said, the dream really emphasized you were safe. Everything was safe. Going to the moon was safe. When you came back, you were safe. And you came back, and you said to everybody, hey, it was a safe trip, and it's all right. Everything's good. And it took 8 hours, she said, to go to the moon. Now, NASA would be jealous of that. But we got there. Sharon and I got there in 8 hours, wrapped in this package. So she said, does that mean anything to you? I said, not really, not right now. But, well, it didn't. You know, I said, I'm going to pray about it. We're going to talk about it and see. And lo and behold, God began to unfold. Well, it fits right. It's kind of like I'm an Irishman. I got a thick head. It fits in with what God was saying to me about don't preach on 1 Peter. I want you to talk about the Holy Spirit. And so basically, Sharon and I are representatives, really, of the church. Now, a little bit has to do with us personally, and I don't think it just has to do with the message tonight. I think it has to do with what God wants to do in the future, too. But Sharon and I represent us, we, here at Encounter Church. And we're wrapped in a package. Now, and what we did, we cheated. We went to the prophecy book. We got a dream book at home. It's Christian. A Christian dream book. And some of you looked at me, what are you into, Pat? It's Christian dream book, interpretations of different signs and wonders. So we looked up. What does package mean? It means a gift. What does the moon mean? Part of what the meaning of the moon means, the church. It meant other things, but it also meant the church. 8 hours meant new beginnings. Safety, of course, meant the protection of God and the Holy Spirit in our life. And so the interpretation is the package is a gift, represents gift, and the gift that God's given. Flash up that one scripture for me, would you, Tyler or Tiffany? Of the Acts, the book of Acts scriptures. Talk about gifting. Go to the next one, would you please? Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You shall receive the gift. Say the gift. Say this, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to my life. Now, sometimes we reject the gift. We don't appreciate the gift. We don't even unwrap the gift. But there is a piece of dynamite in your life called the Holy Spirit that if you will tap into him more and more every day, you will experience more and more of the kingdom of God. He is a gift. Receive. You don't work for a gift. How many here work for a gift? No. If I was to give Pastor Aaron $20, he'd take it and leave. No, I mean, he would receive. I wouldn't make him work for it. I'd give him the money. He would receive the money. It's a gift. We don't work for these things, beloved. Jesus has freely given us his kingdom. Freely. And the Holy Spirit is a part of, a key part, of that gift. And so the package in Marilyn's dream represents a gift, and it is the Holy Spirit. God was saying to me, I want you to preach on the Holy Spirit, who is a gift to the church. And he said, I want my people to begin to appreciate the gift I have given them in the Holy Spirit and to activate him in them, through them, to the church and to the world. That's what he's wanting. Take the gift, use the gift, give the gift away. Boy, that'd be a good song. Take the gift, use the gift, give the gift away. It's a gift. And the 8 hours is a new beginning. And I feel like God is saying to me through all of this, there's a new beginning coming to this church in the power of the Holy Spirit, who's the gift to the church that God wants to do something fresh in. New beginnings. And we're going to the moon, the church. So it's not going to just be this church. We're going out to the many churches of the world. And we already are with Saving Moses, Marilyn Hickey Ministries, and other things. But we are moving beyond the boundaries of this building into so many other areas. And I love the fact we're teaming up with The Rock, and we're teaming up with Bridgeway, and so many other things God is doing in our city today. The moon is the church, and the church still has empty seats, and people need to be reached and put in those seats. And the safety of it, of course, is God is our safety. God is our protector. When you obey God and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to move out and do things, don't be afraid. God will protect you. It's going to be okay. If he tells you to lay hands on somebody at King Supers, don't freak out. He'll protect you. He's the protector. And I love that about the dream she had, that God is saying, there's safety going and there's safety coming back. Safety. We're safe. Say this, I'm safe in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. So Marilyn's dream really spoke to Sharon and I, and I think it has some things to do with us personally in the future and also some things future for the church. And out of all that, I said, well, okay, God, that's great. You want to challenge us to receive the Holy Spirit? You want to challenge us to discover our giftings in the Holy Spirit? Where do I go from there? And I don't do this regularly. Number one, I really don't preach that much more anymore regularly, so I don't have an opportunity to do that. But even when I preach, I do not talk about things that God has done in and through me that often. I just don't. I don't want to boast. And tonight, please misunderstand. What I have done with God is minuscule compared to what other people have done in this church. But at the same time, as you can personally share things, it can come across like, well, golly, he's tooting his own horn. Please, if that comes across, shoot me with a 12-gauge shotgun tonight. Judah, shoot me. All right. So I want to take you back. Let's go back a few years when I was 22 years old, 2 years ago. No. In my dream. Yeah, that's my dream. Bam! I got born again in 1976. 1 week later, I'm going to go through some of this fairly quickly. 1 week later, and it was a dramatic salvation. 1 week later, I received a very dramatic infilling of the Holy Spirit without understanding it, knowing it, reading it, studying it, didn't know. But I went to a meeting up in Estes Park at a German restaurant. Lo and behold, there was a man there who was very powerful in God. And he called people forward to receive the baptism. As I got even close to him, didn't even touch him, or he didn't even touch me. I mean, the power of God swept at me, knocked me over a table. I knocked the table over, drinks went everywhere, and I started laughing hilariously in God. Now, I know I'm Irish and I'm very emotional. So I'm not saying you have to have that experience. In fact, it doesn't matter what kind of experience you have as long as you receive salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are gifts to us freely given because of the cross. So I received powerfully the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. Pastor Reese was, in fact, as I think about this, Pastor Reese was talking about the Holy Spirit Sunday. And so here's God adding to this. I think God's trying to say something to this church about the Holy Spirit and us getting on board with him. So I got powerfully filled. Now, I stayed in Estes Park a few more months, driving people crazy because I was so fanatical. And then I thought, I got to go do something. I know what I'll do. I'm going to go to Israel, and I'm going to reach Israel for God. So I went to Israel. Now, I had been to Israel 2 years before as an unsaved heathen. And traveling Israel, just traveling Europe and Israel. 2 years later, I get saved, and I think, I want to go back to Israel, and I want to reach Israel with the gospel. So I did. I bought a ticket. I went to Israel. I was there 2 weeks, and God said, go home. I didn't reach one person for Jesus. I did get a lot of exercise because I walked around Jerusalem a lot. And it was just those moments of great passion for God and desires with the fire of the Holy Spirit all over me to want to go do something. So I went to Israel. God said, go home. So I went home. And what happened when I came home? God led me to a church called Happy Church. 1977, 78, somewhere in there. And it was at Happy Church that two very, very important things happened in my life. So that I not just had the power of the Holy Spirit, I began to receive the wisdom that goes with it. And I want to show you a couple of scriptures. Go ahead and put up Ephesians 5 first, would you please? Ephesians 5, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled. Everybody say, be filled. Be filled with the what? The Spirit. So I was filled with the Spirit, and I was speaking in all kinds of different things. And it was glorious and wonderful. I was filled with the Spirit. But put up the other scripture now, Tyler, would you please? But here's the balancing act with this when it comes to all these things. Colossians 3, let the what? The word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns. See, you still have the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with the word, but you also have it when you're filled with the Spirit. But if all you have is the Spirit, you will be like me, and I drove people nuts. I went into prayer meetings and absolutely took over the meeting praying in tongues for 2 hours. I was radical, I was crazy, but I was also unwise. I lacked understanding of how to kind of work with this power, work with this anointing, work with the Holy Spirit. So I came to Happy Church. So God took me out of a trip to Israel and said, go back to Denver. I found Happy Church. It was at Happy Church I found the Word and the Spirit. Pastor Wally Hickey was a man of the Holy Spirit. I was mentored under him, watching him. Pastor Marilyn Hickey was the teacher of the Word of God. We were taught by her. We were fed by her. I learned what the Bible said. I learned the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I learned how to follow the Holy Spirit by hooking it up with the Word of God. Therefore, I gained wisdom. Does that make sense? You got to have both. It was also there that I met my dear wife, dear, wonderful Sharon, and we met there in 1978, ministering on Colfax, reaching people for the gospel, walking up and down Colfax, sharing the gospel, and she and I became a part of a team. We fell in love when we cast out devils together. Probably some of them were in me, I don't know. So it was at Happy Church I was grounded, learned, grew, disciplined, understood, perfect, not by a long shot. Still have so much to learn, but I thank God for Pastor Wally, Pastor Marilyn. And I thank God that Pastor Reese and Pastor Sarah now are Word and Spirit as an example to us. We learn, we grow, folks. So important. What could have happened to me? I could have, and I was very close to it, rebelled against that kind of leadership over me, and gone out and just done my own thing and really gotten in trouble. I was close to it. I didn't think I needed the local church. I didn't think I needed pastors. God called me to be a pastor. I don't need you. I can go out and reach nations. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. What do I need to come here for every Sunday? Why do I need to go to Marilyn Hickey's Bible study on Sunday morning and learn? What do I need to? But I didn't. Thank God I didn't. God helped me just to surrender, to submit, to grow, to learn, and to understand. And Sharon and I both found that to be true. But it was also at that church, and now, you know, I'm talking about receiving the Holy Spirit and discovering the gifts of the Spirit. It was now, well, after we moved from Washington Street to Platte River Drive, we were still called Happy Church in those days. I was sitting, in those days, We got on staff. I became the youth pastor. I was first working in the cassette department. Became the youth pastor. Became the singles pastor. In those days, we used to sit in chairs on the platform because that was just the way it was back then. And in some ways, that was symbolic of how the flow of the Spirit was working in some ways. Because the flow of the Spirit many times in those days was flowing from the leadership positions to the church. There were times in the congregation somebody would shout out in tongues with an interpretation. There were times the church would do differently. But today, we don't have chairs up here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has overflowed to everybody, and we're all called to move out. Right, Judah? You got me, bro? So we were sitting on chairs on the platform, and I was sitting by Marilyn, and it was probably 1981-ish. And I just felt the power and the fire of God fall on me. I was burning in that chair, literally. I thought I was going to turn into a flame and kill people. I mean, I was on. And so I leaned over to Marilyn, and I had just been born again three or four years old. I said, Marilyn, I am on fire. What's going on with me? She said, that's the Holy Spirit. God's wanting you to speak out. She said, get up and do something. I thought, oh, my Lord. That was Marilyn, and that was Wally, too. Just get out there, little man, and do something. So I did. I got up, and boy, you guys were probably there then. Out of my belly flowed rivers of living water. And I prophesied, and I shouted, and I cried. The fire of God was all over. What happened that day, it was a Sunday morning, was the beginning of the prophetic in my life. It was the beginning of God using Sharon and I in tongues and interpretation. It was the beginning of the prophetic words coming forth through me for people and for other things. The giftings of the Spirit began to stir up in me. Now, I could have shut it down and said, I don't know what that fire is. Get away from me. But I said, Marilyn, what is it? She said, use it. Get up. God bless Marilyn Hickey and Wally Hickey, Reese Bowling and Sarah Bowling. And so from that day forward, things begin to happen, and we begin to see demonstrations of the Spirit. I'm talking about discovering the gifts of the Spirit right now. So we begin to see things working in our lives while we were at Happy Church in those days. Then we moved to San Diego. In San Diego, we begin to see other demonstrations of words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Well, Pat, that's because you're a pastor. No, it's because I'm a believer. And so are you. We're believers. Who said that? Oh, God bless you. And so we went to San Diego and pastored a church there for a while. And then here's what God asked me to share. So I'm going to share these things. It was in those days that I was going into Tijuana, Mexico, doing some things, doing a lot of different ministry in Indian reservations and what have you. And I went to a particular church on an Indian reservation, and in the prophetic move of God in that church, and what I'm going to be sharing right now is how the giftings help other people. That's what this is about, right? How the giftings help other people. This is not about us saying, wow, God used me, even though it's great, it's wonderful, I love it. But it's about helping other people. So I went to American Indian Reservation at a church there, and God just exploded in the place as I was ministering. And it was in those prophetic moments that God took that little church and the pastor of that little Indian church and raised it to another level spiritually. And the pastor said, we've been waiting and needing this encouragement in God for us to do something like this. And all I did was go, obey God, plant a seed. I left. I never knew them again, never saw them again. Went back to our church in San Diego. Then I went to Tijuana, went to a big church in Tijuana. And this thing must have been, I don't know what it was. It was probably 3,000 people because I was way down in a pit. And I was looking up at the seats like this. I was just in a big circle. I was preaching on the book of Ruth, and I remember it clearly, and it was a wonderful time. And I had the interpreter there, and it was a wonderful church. And I when I was done, I looked way up in the seats, and I saw a woman with a hat. And I said, "You, way up there, you lady." And I was pretty crazy and pretty radical. "You up there with the hat." And God had a prophetic word for her. I went to dinner or whatever we did after the thing with the pastor, he did speak English, so we went out to eat in Tijuana, and he said, "You know, that woman you spoke to is the wealthiest woman in our church. The word you gave her was exactly what she needed to hear. And I," he said, "me, as a pastor, I received great encouragement tonight to step out and begin to speak forth the things of God more." By just me, a bald little man, speaking life, speaking truth, encouraging another pastor in another church. Then we went, many years later, I went to India on a little trip, a little 2-3 week missions trip. Pastored in Jaipur, the city of Jaipur. Never have been back to India since. But ministered at a Christian college there, went to a church there, did some things. But I was ministering to some people, and there was one lady I was ministering to. And I said, "Stretch out your hands." She stretched out her hands, and I had a word for her. I said, "These hands are called of God, anointed of God. Be confident in the calling of God on these hands." And I prayed for her, and I anointed her. She was, of course, from India, an Indian lady living in Jaipur. She caught me later, and she said, "You know, I've just graduated as an OBGYN. And she said, "These hands are going to be delivering babies. And what God spoke to me through you has given me the confidence I need to walk out what he's called me to do." Do you see the importance of gifts? That give people fuel for the next day, hope for the life they're living, strength in the midst of the battle. Do you see how God does mighty things? And I'm just talking prophetic things now. We've prayed for people who have been physically healed and have seen wonderful things. I don't have a healing ministry, but I believe Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We all should be doing this. And we have seen great manifestations. In fact, Debbie, I see you sitting right there. Hi, Debbie. I called your mom the other day and I asked her about this. Debbie's mom, that's Debbie, wave your hand. And Debbie, God's touching your head right now. He's healing your brain right now, Debbie. Receive. Put your hand on your head. Say, "I receive supernatural healing in my brain in Jesus' name." Receive that. So I called her mom 2 days ago because something happened 25 years ago with Debbie's granddaughter and Patsy. Her name's Patsy. And her great-granddaughter. Taylor, a little girl named Taylor, 3 months old, 25 years ago, whenever it was, in Denver, flew out of a car seat in the car because the crazy dad didn't buckle her in. She, 3 months old, hit the windshield and had great damage to her head and her neck. 3 months old. I talked to your mom about this, Debbie. Patsy, the great grandmother, came and got me that day, and I was in something, doing something here, you know, in the ministry at the church. She said, "Come to the hospital." Taylor, her name's Taylor. Taylor, she's 3 months old. She's greatly damaged, you know, very hurt. So I went to the hospital saying, "God, it's you, not me. It's you, not me." I laid hands on Taylor. This is 25 years ago. I called Patsy just the other day to confirm some of this because people move on and I forget things and whatever. I said, "Whatever happened?" I said, I heard Taylor received healing, but what happened? She said she was 3 months old. She was having incredible seizures because of that accident at 3 months old. From the moment you left that room, the seizures stopped, and they have never been back to this day. I just talked to her 2 days ago. 2 days ago, a little baby hitting the windshield. God wants to help people. This is what it's all about. Why are we here? We might as well go to heaven otherwise. God wants to heal, save, deliver, receive prophetic words, give life. But we're so bound up in our fears and our insecurities. Start looking within yourself and find Jesus because he's there. And let him out because he wants to go everywhere. I can't do it. You don't know my background. Doesn't matter. It's under the blood. Oh, but you don't know how insecure I am. Yeah, but I know how secure Jesus is. Oh, but I don't have Bible college training. Yeah, Jesus didn't either. And he did just fine. And Peter didn't either. And he did just fine. And I don't think Pastor Wally Hickey did either. I don't think he went to Bible college. And he did just fine. We've got to stop looking at our weaknesses and start looking at his strengths, his abilities. It's about him, not us. And the world is aching. And Sharon, did you have a couple? Yeah, come on up. Just do it right here. Right here. Yeah, I want her to share a couple testimonies.
Yeah, he just asked me to remember a couple of things that we had done. One thing I just want to say is that a word early in the time that the Lord started using me in the Holy Spirit, pointed out to me that Jesus never did anything on his own initiative. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And what Jesus did was ask the Father, "Father, what are you doing at this moment?" When he ran across the blind man, when he ran across the lame. And what was the Father saying? The Father would say, "I'm loving this person." It's always God's answer. "I'm loving this person, and this is what I want to do." And then he would do that through Jesus, right? So early on, from the time I was born again, I was Spirit-filled just shortly after the prophetic and the revelation gifts were operating in me. Early on, I mean, I didn't even know what any of this stuff was. We all just sort of learned this stuff. The gifts don't come to us because we know everything. The gifts comes because we just surrender ourselves. And we ask the Father, "Father, what are you doing?" And he does it through us. So prophecy, revelatory words, and so forth like that started happening with me when I was just in small groups, long before I even came here or met this guy. But after we got married, we were youth pastors, and one of the things that we did in youth group every week was allow the gifts to operate. And one of the unique things that we were talking about was the gifts of revelation working for provision. So the Holy Spirit would say through me or him, you know, one of the people in the group even, someone here has a need for a bicycle. And then someone else would say, and someone else has a bicycle, and there would be a person giving away a bicycle, and there would be a person who needed the bicycle. And it went like that for many, many times. We had that many, many times. Kids needing stuff, you know, it was so fun. It was so fun to watch God love those kids and meet their needs in that way and show them how much he loves them and how their lives were very specific to him. We revisited our church plant in San Diego. We were there for 5 years with a church. And we revisited it 1 year. And there was a lady there, friends of ours. I didn't know it at the time, but the Lord gave me a word to her that God was opening her womb and that she would have a baby in another year. And they had been trying to have a baby for a couple of years. And the next year, they had that baby, and they named him after him. Isn't that funny?
They named him Bald and Beautiful.
And also one more, we were in, I was called to go to Paraguay a number of times to minister down there. And one of the unique words that God gave me in the services there was that revelation brings revolution. And the word to the church was that as they increased in their revelation, it would bring a revolution that overthrew the oppressor. And that's what does happen. Revelation overthrows the oppressor out of our life, dispels lies and everything. But the day we left that country, or I should say this, that church has a great heart for the whole country of Paraguay and prayed for the country regularly. The day we left, their president was ousted. He had been an oppressor, and revelation brought revolution to that nation. Amen?
Amen. And and Paraguay has received some tremendous things. Judah and Aaron, come up real quick. Tanya, please go to the keyboard. What? Stand up here and behave yourself. Okay, because, you know, there's a lot to be said, but we can't say it all tonight. Here's the thing about the gifts of the Spirit. You can catch them in an atmosphere where the anointing flows. I remember once somebody at the church, Happy Church, was moving, a guest speaker, he was moving in gifts and calling out names of people that he didn't know. He was just calling out names. I caught that anointing. And the next week, we were having a Get Free seminar that we were doing, and that anointing was on me. And I began to call out names. It lasted one night, ended after that. But I caught the anointing. See, you can come into church meetings. You can come into meetings that where the anointing is. You catch something out of that. Go out and use it. If it stays with you forever, fine. If it was only for a moment, fine. The gifts also flow because of faith. You don't wait for God to hit you with a hammer, though it doesn't hurt if he would now and then. But faith says, they're in me. Faith says, I have the Holy Spirit. Faith says, I have Jesus in me. Faith says, there's somebody over there, God, that looks really upset. What do you want me to do? Faith says, I can speak forth the word. Faith says, I can lay hands on that person. If you wait for God to take your hands, move your hands, put your hands on them, it's never going to happen. Faith says, I'll move. God says, I'll meet you there. That's how this works, beloved. The gifts of the Spirit also work by love, as Sharon was talking about. As you just love God and love people, you'll see the gifts of the Spirit flow more. Because the gifts flow out of the Father's heart, the love of God, to touch and heal people and give them breakthroughs. So the gifts of the Spirit are important. You can catch them. You can study them. I've read many books about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I like reading about it. About 2 hours before I came here, I went to YouTube, turned on a 1958 video of Oral Roberts sitting in his chair like he did, calling people up and just saying, and he said this, I don't know if we would do this today, but he said, now, this is Oral Roberts speaking, he said, now, the way I work, I see Jesus and Jesus is right here near me. And I just do what he tells me to do and say what he tells me to say. And he was talking to a little boy who was stammering. He was had this little 10-year-old boy. This is 1958. The guy's probably 60, 70 years old today, the kid. But he had a real stammering problem. He was talking, and he really, and Oral Roberts said to this dear little boy, God loves you. Do you believe Jesus will heal you? Yes. Yes, I do. And he's stammering. He's stuttering. Oral just laid hands on him. The love of God flows. He says to the little boy, now begin to talk. He puts the microphone in front of the little boy's, and the boy begins to talk just like normal. It was just wonderful to watch. And I thought, God, and this is 1950, and this is 2 hours ago, I was watching this before I came here. I thought, God, let that flow through me more. Let that kind of love, that kind of confidence in Jesus Christ flow through me more. It was a wonderful thing to watch. So go to YouTube and don't watch the news there. Watch Oral Roberts or A.A. Allen or Marilyn Hickey or other people doing things in the kingdom of God. So I brought these guys up here real quick because I want to ask them something. Because in our day, meaning Sharon and I's day, which is still today, we're not dead, though there are times. I'm alive. But the charismatic movement was a little different, had a different flow. The giftings worked in different ways. Today, God is doing tremendous things. But what would you guys say is a defining mark of how the Holy Spirit is moving today with the giftings?
Well, hello. Can you hear me? First of all, I just want to say, like, this guy is so awesome. And I mean, it's cool because I come from a family of that operated in those days of Oral Roberts, days of, you know, the 90s, renewal, all that sort of thing. And I think in order to be able to operate in what God is doing today even more effectively is to honor what God did in the past and what God has done. And so, you know what, Pat, like, I just say, like, I honor you. I honor you. And us young guys, we really honor you for giving your yes in those days and even in today. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say that. And I think that God is really moving just like you were, actually what you were saying earlier is like into that everybody gets to play thing. Now,
yeah.
And it's funny because I kind of grew up in Vineyard. If you guys have heard of, I don't know how many of you have heard of the Vineyard Church, Vineyard Movement. There's a guy named John Wimber who used to say, hey, everybody gets to play. And it was just a movement and a thing and something that God was wanting to equip the church for the works of service. And so I feel I actually have a gift of evangelism in my life. And what that is to, first and foremost, according to the Bible, is to equip you. Not me evangelize. To equip you to evangelize. A prophet, their number one calling, according to Scripture, is to equip you to prophesy. An apostle, their number one calling is to equip you to be apostolic, changing the city, changing the world around you. And I just feel like that's just a major thing, is that we're throwing away the excuses. Holy Spirit is convicting us of the excuses. And like he was saying earlier, and for whatever your background is, you may say, well, that's not my calling. My calling is to stay in my lane, to work hard, bring glory to God by working hard and being an example. But let me tell you, this is something that God has been speaking to me. You're called to be an example to the world around you, to bring glory to God, and an encounter. You're called to be an encounter and an example. And to disregard one is to walk with a limp in God. And some of you have been walking with a limp in God. Some of you have been walking with a limp, not walking in fullness of what you're called to. You're called to be an encounter and an example, not just an example and not just an encounter. Like he was saying, he needed to get grounded, and he was an example and an encounter. So that's something that's, but yeah, that whole thing of just you being equipped, not just from the stage, because the world needs to see. There are people that will come in here. Sorry, I'm going so long here. I'll wrap it up real quick. the one thing I would say, there are people that will not step foot in here that you're called to reach, not just us. And so you're here to be equipped to be an encounter to the world around you.
Judah said it, that's it, is that everybody has the opportunity, everyone is called to be that example. In times past, you know, it would be to go, okay, let's go to this place and then maybe we'll get a healing. We are the conduit for God's healing in every way, in every situation that we encounter in our lives. And it breaks my heart as a pastor, because as Judah was saying, that it's our purpose in life to equip you, not for us to be able to be that example alone and say, yeah, come to me and I'll do this thing for you. It breaks our heart. This happened maybe 6 months ago. Someone came up to me after a service and they said, there's something wrong with me. There's some physical issue. And they said, they were talking to someone out in the hall, and they said, well, go find Pastor Aaron because he prays for people to get healed. And it broke my heart, because I was like, you have that power out in that hallway to pray for people and see them get healed right out there. You don't need to bring them. I'll do it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'll pray for them, sure. But you have the power and the anointing through the power of the Holy Spirit that Pastor Pat's been talking about tonight to do it out there in the hall, to do it at the gas station, to do it at Walmart, wherever it is, all the time. You don't need a pastor or something, some special thing. You have the special thing. You have the magic juice living inside of you everywhere you go. It's called the Holy Spirit and His love and His power. Amen.
Okay, so wrapping this thing up. So Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You've been hearing a lot of testimony tonight, and it's actually an invitation. It's a prophetic word that God wants to do it again in you, reproduce it in you. So let's stand.
Let's stand is right. And what we want to do, and now if you have children, you need to go upstairs. You go for it. It's 8:32. Those little kids are screaming out, "Mama!" What are you doing down here, by the way? Our children's pastor snuck in. Listen, I believe God has something special to pour on you right now. Yeah, let's come up here. Come on up. Everybody, come up. Not just a few. Let's just come to the platform. Just give God 5 more minutes. I know you're busy at work tomorrow and you're tired. We get all that. That's why we try to end 8:30. Boom. 8:30. Boom. So we're going to let you go pretty quick. But I think we're also hungry. I think we're also desperate. I also think we realize, come on, just fill in here, guys. Just press in. Fill in. Church family. I think our city needs us. In fact, I know our city needs the church. They don't know it. They don't appreciate it. But they need us. We have the truth and the life. They have darkness and pain. They're lovely people. They're wonderful people. But they don't know Jesus. You do. They need us. And what do we need? We need the, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit. We need power. And then we need to give that power away. That's the Holy Spirit. So raise your hands right now, would you please? Thank you, Jesus. While your hands are up, just a couple things I need to share that I got Monday night. One was for the millennium. God actually gave me a prophecy for the millennials, and God bless them. They drive me nuts, but I have a prophecy for them. Where is it? I wrote it down. I don't normally write these things down. I usually just speak it out. Millennium, millennials, where are you? I will pour out my love and my spirit on the millennials of this city to stop what the enemy is promising them so that they will receive my promise and they will see me as their creator, and their provider. Father, we pray, just keep your hands up. We pray for the millennials of this city, 22, 23 to 33, 34, whatever it is. We pray for them, God. You spoke that word to me for the millennials. God, touch them. Touch them. Touch them. The answer is not politics. The answer is not education in school. The answer is Jesus. Touch them, Father. The millennials around us, the millennials right in our own neighborhoods, the millennials we work with. I know you want to touch every age group, but God, you are going to do and are doing something for that age group mightily in Jesus' name. And I speak to the millennials, you come alive in Jesus' name. You come alive in Jesus' name. You're not going to love the world, you're going to love Jesus. You're going to know Jesus. And it's going to transform you. And the Lord also said this. I am revisiting the ancient wells of my spirit that seem dry and empty. But they will run over with my anointing and my power. Those that seek me will find me. And I will be the fullness of their life. Oh, yeah. Now, Father, we pray that right now with our hands up. revisit the ancient wells where some seem dry right now, dry in their prayer time, dry in their prayer language, dry in their walk with you. I release tonight wells of life over your people in this room and throughout this church. Oil, Father, fresh oil, fresh anointing, fresh power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We receive, we receive. Say that in your own heart and mouth. I receive, I receive. See, Father gives, we receive. Father gives, we receive. I receive. In Jesus' name. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right where you're standing, say, I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I say to you who are doing that, receive Him now in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, yeah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Power, life, anointing.
You are created to burn for Jesus. So it's just been continually just coming to mind. You were created to burn for Jesus. Some of you have known this. Some of you have never known this. Some of you have felt this. Some of you have never felt this. Some of you are feeling this right now. Double it, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come and burn, burn, burn deeply right now. Burn, 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 burn. Holy Spirit, just come and fall. We fan into flame.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit, come, move.
Touch the person near you. Go ahead, just touch them. Let the life flow. Let the life flow. Let the life flow. Minister outside of yourself now. Let the life flow. Let that anointing go from you to them. Oh, yeah. Let it go in Jesus' name. There it is. It's flowing. The Holy Spirit's moving right now from one to the other. Let it go out of you to them. Let it go out of you to them. We release. We release from us to you, to the person near us right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Life, anointing, breakthrough, hope, healing, encouragement. Halabakosotora. Masumbrandele vistum babadista. Nisumbrandele vosto kumalakista. Yeah. In the kumarakinda levustum baradando. In araputusine makato pramandale. Sobobo, release, 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 release. Sabaro, condoro, combata. No sombra gisto. Father, we release what you've given us. Freely we have received, freely we give. Not just here tonight, but where we go, week and day and week after here, we release freely, we release freely, we release freely in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Where's Charlie? Charlie, come right here, Charlie. Right there. Right there. Let's lay hands on Charlie.
Mark him. Mark him. Some of you, God is wanting to mark tonight. Just stay locked in with him right now. Stay locked in with his eyes. Stay locked in with his eyes. He's wanting to mark you. He's wanting to mark you. He's wanting to just turn. Just to go to a new level of effectiveness for him, for the kingdom. So just receive all that he has for you right now. Just say, I'm completely yours, God. I'm completely yours, God. Use me. Use me, God. I set myself apart.
Some of you have been restricted in your prayer language. I just feel like God wants to really release your prayer language for you tonight. Expand it. Make it deeper. So if that's you, let's just all of us that do pray in the Spirit, let's all just begin to pray in the Spirit. And I'm believing that those of you who have been restricted in your prayer language or haven't experienced a prayer language yet, it's coming forth now in the name of Jesus. This is how we release the Holy Spirit's energy in us. This is how we're edified, how our spirits are built up in the name, and the love of God is built up in us. Let's just go into a song in that. Ushandela mikele mashele bokole atola bakora bakoshele bakale isola bakoles. Just keep speaking out in those languages. Keep speaking out in those languages. Kushaka rabashala bakato kala kese ele mokoro mashondo kole kese.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're free to go, but we're going to keep ministering. But if you have kids, please go get them. But also, you're just free to go. But God has some other things He wants to do. But don't say to Pastor Reese, that Mahoney man kept me here. Don't tell him that. I've released you. You can go if you so desire. Truly, truly, truly. But stay if you want to stay and just press in a little more. If you can, if you can. Some of you have to go, I understand. Bakusaka bakatasha. Riketezima.